Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, the host of Spiritual Hollywood, and I just want to thank BBS Radio, Don Newsom, Douglas Newsom, and Seth Hendrick for providing this excellent platform to raise consciousness using positive media. We have a real treat tonight, and her name is Hollister Rand. She is a visionary spirit medium, and the topic tonight is Life is Never Over. The website that you'll go to pull up Hollister's information is www.hollisterrand.com. That's hollisterrand.com. And we have a treat this evening that Hollister is offering. She will be doing one free reading on the air, so be sure to call in. And these numbers are the call-in numbers, so grab your pen. It is worldwide toll-free, 888-815-9756. And line 1 is 530-327-7602. Line 2 is 530-776-5185. And line 3 is 530-413-4511. Again, the toll-free worldwide number is 888-815-9756. So to give you a little bit of background on Hollister, she believes that life is never over, and those we love are still as interested in our lives as they were when they were here. Damaged relationships can be healed by talking with spirit, broken hearts can be mended, questions answered, and it's never too late to say I love you or I'm sorry. It is never too late to give or receive forgiveness. Those opportunities do not end with what we call death. Medium Hollister Rand is dedicated to providing specific messages from loved ones living in the spirit world. Holly's personal charm, sense of humor, and compassion make it seem as though communicating with spirit is an everyday thing, and for her, it is. Holly is clairvoyant, clairaudient, and clairsentient, which means that she can see, hear, and feel the presence of spirits, as well as get a sense of their personalities, emotions, physical attributes, and their illnesses. Hollister has teamed up with internationally acclaimed medium John Edward for Infinite Quest, a one-stop portal of internet resources for the soul, and that website is infinitequest.com. Recently, Holly has closed the deal with a major publisher and is writing her first book based on her experiences with children in spirit. We have many, many questions that we're going to want to ask Hollister, and again, if you'd like to call in, if you are the first caller, you can get a free reading from Hollister, and that toll-free worldwide number again is 888-815-7602. I'm sorry, that was line one. 888-815-9756 is the worldwide toll-free number, and line one is 530-327-7602. Line two is 530-776-5185. Line three is 530-413-4511. Again, the website is hollisterrand.com. Topic is Life is Never Over. Without further ado, I'd like to bring on Hollister for you. Hey, Hollister, thanks for joining us.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for inviting me.
You're welcome. I've been wanting to have you on my show for over a year since I first found out about you, and it turned out the timing was right because you were incredibly busy there for a long time, and you stay busy. And as a matter of fact, for our local listeners, Hollister will be at the Bodie Tree this coming Sunday on the 18th, and I believe that information is all on your website, right, Hollister?
Yes, and reservations are limited to 25 people. I'm calling it a spirit touch circle, so it's very, very limited, and all tickets must be purchased beforehand, so there will be no tickets at the door.
Right, and I believe that's at 2:45 and goes until 5:30?
5:15.
Oh, 5:15, okay. Well, I happen to know I purchased two tickets for this, and I'm very excited.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. So if you'll just indulge me, I'd like to tell our listeners how I first found out about you. You and I actually met. You and I had an encounter that changed my life, and I'm very grateful that I get a chance to tell you about that on the show tonight.
Well, wow, because this is a surprise. You did not give me a heads up about this.
No, I did not, and I'd like you to know that I'd heard about a spirit medium at the Bodhi Tree, and I was really searching my heart about getting some completion from my relationship with my father, who died when I was 3 years old. I had put him on a pedestal my whole life, and I did it quite on purpose because he was such a wonderful father in spirit form, better than any human being that I knew in my life. And I knew it was coming time for me to let him go, because it was stopping me from finding true love. It was stopping me moving on with my life. I kept hanging on. I was choosing men who were much older than me, looking for a father figure, and those things needed to change. So I was just drawn to you. So I went to the Bodhi tree, and I'm sitting there. I hope I can get through this without crying, because it was a really huge life change for me. I was sitting there listening to you tap into spirit for people and give messages to the people in the crowd. And you, I was just sitting there just listening, and you looked over at me, and you said, "You in the back in the pink scarf, I have a message for you." And I looked around me, and no one had on a pink scarf except me, so I was like, "Okay, great." And you said, "Your father is here." And
wow.
And that's why I was there.
Yeah.
and you know, just the alignment and synchronicity of first being in that seat and then hearing you say that, for the reason I was there, I came there to get completion with my dad. And you said, "Your father is here and he wants you to know something." And I said, "What's that?" And everybody turned and looked at me, and I was really in the hot seat, but I didn't care. You know, I wanted to know what Daddy got to say to me. And you told me that his greatest regret in life was that he wasn't more emotionally available to my mother, and that he wished he could have done more for me in the time that he was here with me. I'll just be candid. My mother had given me away to a stranger when I was 6 months old while my father was at work, and for 2 years he went through the court systems trying to get me back, and he finally did get me back into the family that didn't want me, and then 2 weeks after he brought me back, he died of a massive heart attack. And you said your father was nicknamed a name from Boston, and my dad was born in Boston, and they called him Boston Blackie. You said your father died suddenly of a massive heart attack, and he was sorry to leave you like that, and he wants you to know that it's okay to let go now and move on with your life and open your heart for love, and to go ahead and grieve his passing, because it's been far too long that I've not done that. And, you know, I just was stunned and shocked at all of the words that you said to me, and they were straight from my father, because you knew things about him that nobody told you anything. I'd never spoken a word to you.
And I do have to tell you, Kate, as wonderful as the story is, I do not remember this encounter. And very often as mediums, where we present what spirit gives us, and then it's gone from us. In other words, we don't own these things.
No, I understand that. That's why I was so excited to share it with you.
So this is a big surprise to me, actually, to hear this story. And it underscores what my life's work is about, which is Hollister Rand, the healing heart of mediumship. Because I had opportunities to work at the justice vibration, you know, finding killers and solving mysteries and things like that. But I found that stories like yours are what really drives me to do this work more than anything. Because you found, you must have gone on to find love. There's got to be a happy ending to this story.
Well, I'll just give you a little bit of that. And also, when you see me on Sunday at your event, you're gonna remember me then.
Okay.
Because you looked deep into my eyes while you were talking, and maybe you won't remember, but I sense that you may. So what happened after that was I started grieving. I grieved, 51 years. That much.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go into a restaurant to try to have some dinner, and all of a sudden a wave of grief would hit me, and I would have my head on the table sobbing.
Mm.
I have to leave. So I grieved.
Yes.
And I grieved and I grieved and I grieved some more. And I grieved some more. And then I decided to become my own beloved and spend, you know, a couple of years, actually it was a couple of years ago this happened, a couple of years just falling in love with me. I took myself I bought myself flowers, took myself to dinner, wasn't dating, wasn't interested, just healing myself. And soon after that, I met someone because, you know, the movie The Secret, Rhonda Byrne's the creator. I wanted her on my show. She had a publicist I needed to go through. That publicist is now my husband.
Wow.
God intended sacred partner.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
And you know what, Kate? A lot of this is because you did your work. You did your work around grief and loss. And one of the things I'd like to point out as a medium is that mediumship is a small part of the whole process of healing and joy and love. A number of psychiatrists, psychologists, and MFTs have sent their clients to me because it's a little bit of a jump start to hear from loved ones, or maybe some not-so-loved ones on the other side, difficult relationships, because I deal a lot with those, alcoholism, drug addiction, suicide, all of that kind of thing.
Right.
And there's tremendous healing that can start taking place, but then it's wonderful for people to take their own healing into their hands like you did, or have some support group helping them, because it is a process.
Right, right. Everything is.
It is. We're
yes.
constantly growing and changing, and transformation is the ultimate goal, I'm convinced.
Well, absolutely. And to find our authentic voice in this lifetime, because, you know, life presents us with situations that cause us to give up our authenticity, because if we're not being accepted for who we are, we'll take on behaviors and idiosyncrasies of others around us, and then we lose ourselves. And what I believe we're doing here is to reclaim ourselves, is to find ourselves, our true authentic voice, and to get back to who we really are. And, you know, I keep saying to my husband and my friends and loved ones that, you know, if there was an emotional health Olympics, that I'm going to get the platinum before I leave the state.
Well, and Kate, you're very wise, because people will often ask me what heaven is like. And heaven is a place of no personal illusions anymore. So in other words, everything that people hide from here on this earth plane, and any mask that they may develop, and any part of themselves that remains in shadow, walks into light when we pass. So I once had a spirit say to me, "I have met my many selves." And I was so blown away by that statement. And I've been pondering it ever since, and it's been years. And it has so much meaning, because every part of us that has been denied, everything that we've, you know, suppressed, or any place where we're not whole, when we get to the other side, we have to look at all of that. So why not do it here?
Right.
That's what I say. Let's do it now.
That's heaven on earth.
Exactly.
I believe heaven or hell live between our ears.
Absolutely. I had one spirit say to me, heaven is a state of mind.
Yes. Yes. And I love to share this acronym I have for Satan. It's seeing all things as negative.
Well, it's very interesting. You know, they have discovered that there is such a thing as negative energy.
Oh, yes.
But it does actually exist. You know, one of the wonderful experiences that I've had over the years is doing presentations with some of the leading afterlife researchers working today. So to hear some of the things that they're discovering and finding out that we already know are true, but the scientific method is now beginning to support what mediums and psychics have said for a very long time. So that's exciting research. So yes, there is actually negative energy, and it can be collapsed by, guess what? Positive energy. Surprise,
yep.
Surprise.
Yep. And that's what, you know, what you think about, you bring about, and what it is you're focusing on, you attract. And if the negative thoughts are what you're living with every day, you're going to attract negative situations. And if you clean up your thoughts and turn them around and make them more vibrational to what it is you actually want, then that's the kind of life you'll have. And Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith said this one phrase in his sermon. Well, actually, he's the one who married my husband and I at Agape.
Oh, how lovely. Uh-huh.
And it was just perfect. He said, you can't hide your secret thoughts, because they show up as your life.
Absolutely. Couldn't, and they will certainly show up after you pass.
Oh, yes.
Speaking of vibration, I really set the vibration for my work. I come to spirit. You know, people think I work for them, maybe because they pay me to talk with spirits, but the truth is that I work with spirit, and my deal is with them. And that's you know, I work in service of spirit and at the love vibration. So I'm very, very clear as to how I'm going to work. So I joke and say, you know, I'm kind of like MapQuest to the other side. There are certain neighborhoods I don't want to go to over there.
Right.
And so I don't.
Mm-hmm.
There are lower level vibrations, all of that kind of thing. That's not where I work. I want to bring people together and give voice to loved ones on the other side who have something to say to those remaining here.
Well, with that, I would like to ask you this. Now, what I don't know if Sunday would be a venue for me to hear from the mother who gave me away when I was 6 months old, or if that would be a neighborhood that you would even want to visit. Because
you know
the negative energy there is incredibly intense.
Yes, but
I would
yes
like to hear from her.
Yes,
like
yes.
In the first
yes and no. Actually, you know what? I'm really sort of feeling someone here with me right now, and I do want to say something to you that what we will assume here on this earth plane is negative can also be transformed when people have passed.
That's my hope. That's why I'm seeing
yes.
you.
So, and that's the feeling that I'm getting. Now, in a group situation where there are 25 people,
yes.
there's never a guarantee, obviously, that a certain person will come up, you know, will show up. And spirit sort of organizes that. But I do have to say, you know, I have a lady moving in here with me, Kate, and she's writing an M in the sky. So I know that there's an M name that's associated with her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also getting that there may have been a drug situation with her as well, or a drinking kind of thing. So I'm getting some level of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Also, do you know about either a bipolar disorder or some sort of a mental illness as well?
Yes.
With your mother? Because that's the other thing that's coming through to me, is someone who is very, very unbalanced in a way.
Well, she wasn't diagnosed, and her behavior definitely suggest that there was some of that going on, actually a lot
yeah,
of it.
Because she gives me that feeling. This is someone who lived tremendously in fear and never felt as though there was anyone who was there for her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if she wanted to be an actress? She's here talking to me about acting and actress stuff and stage work and things like that. So I do think she had either an interest in that or a proclivity for it. And because she's indicating that as well.
Well, I was an actress for 15 years, and she hated it.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So that's why she's bringing up all of this acting.
Yeah, she said I was conceited because I tried to like myself. I tried to respect and honor myself, and that was her idea of conceit.
Well, what she's letting me know is that she was indeed acting most of her life.
Was she acting like she didn't like me?
No. No,
she should win an Oscar.
Not about that. There was a real enmity between the two of you. In some way, she really felt that you had stolen her life.
Oh.
That's how she sees it. And everything you were reminded her of mistakes that she had made. Did she ever tell you that you were a mistake?
Oh, many times. She
because
told
she's
me I was...
here saying, I kept saying, it was a mistake, it was a mistake, it was a mistake. And she says that she knows now that what she was calling a mistake was a tremendous blessing to this earth.
Hmm.
And she did not have any idea at this time.
Hmm.
So I do think she wants to talk more about this. We could probably talk for the rest of the show about it. So don't be surprised if she shows up on Sunday. It's not a guarantee, but I really think that just by our being together, she sort of wanted to pop in here.
Well, I feel like that my dad is the one who had you come in. I feel like he orchestrated my first encounter with you, and I feel like she's orchestrating one now.
Yeah, it feels like that, and very often they'll do that. It's a 1-2 punch.
Well, your deal is with the spirit, see?
Exactly.
So don't they sort of commission you to...
They do, and as a matter of fact, I had a number of mediums. We were sitting together in a development circle, and one medium said to me, oh, my gosh, Holly, they're talking about you on the other side. I said, oh, great. That's all I need is gossip on the other side, like there isn't enough here. And they said, no, they're talking about, you know, who they're going to send to you this week. And
oh,
they're
great.
Coordinating that. And it was made very, very clear to me from the other side that everyone who works for spirit, that they coordinate from the other side how things happen. So all of these synchronicities, like with you and your husband,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you get things ready and then it just shows up. And they're constantly helping us.
Yes. And my father actually graduated college when he was 12, which meant he started college when he was 9.
Mm.
So he's incredibly, incredibly intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And you also mentioned that to me in at the Bodhi Tree a couple of years ago, that, that my father was incredibly intelligent and not very emotionally available. That he also was a champion swimmer and trick rider in the old talkie movies, and Helen Hayes was in love with him, and we still have the letters she wrote him.
Mm-hmm.
So he was very colorful, and you mentioned that too, and he did go by the name of Boston Blackie. And the thing that was different with he and my mother, they were like oil and water, because his intelligence intimidated my mother because she had a third grade education and got
right.
her education through a crossword puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
By doing crossword puzzles, she educated herself, and she was she could win Jeopardy hands down. And she taught herself with crossword puzzles, and he would always call her an ignorant hillbilly, according
wow.
to her.
Wow.
So it was an interesting relationship, and apparently as a young spirit, I really wanted to come through these two people.
Yes.
Be who
well,
I am.
I'm glad you're bringing up the thought of choice, because mm-hmm. so much, one of the things I've learned with working with spirit is how much choice is involved with everything, choice, negotiation, contract, all of that. Some awful things happen to people here on the earth plane. There's no doubt about that. However, at some level, there is choice involved, and choice as to how we deal with whatever we're given, and choice in getting ourselves here in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I agree with-
yeah, so you made your choices, and one of the most fabulous things that I've discovered with working with spirit is that the children of parents who have had tremendous difficulties, whatever they may be, the children can help heal the parents, even on the other side. So, Kate, by your doing the work that you have been doing with yourself, you have helped heal your mother no matter what, no matter what her feelings and all of that kind of thing. As you have changed here and brought healing, you brought healing to both sides of the family line. It's very, very powerful. We have so much more power here on this earth plane than we understand.
Well,
in
I
fact,
agree with that, and this is all a brand new idea for me to think that that may have happened, because there's nothing I ever wanted more in life than more than to heal my mother.
Then you understand why I would be inspired to say this to you today.
Yes, absolutely. And it's nice to know that the work I'm doing for myself is also affecting her.
It always does. Whatever we do, in fact, we are so much more interdependent than people may want to believe. You know, as Americans, we think we're so independent, independent of thought. You know, all we're not. We're constantly influenced by other people here and by people on the other side. It's like a constant flow of energy and information.
Mm-hmm.
People will often ask me, what's the difference between a medium and a psychic? A psychic will pick up all sorts of information about people from their energy field. Spirit is communicating with, mediums are communicating with the energy fields of spirits. So that's the difference. Sometimes the information can be very much the same. So a psychic could say to you, well, Kate, I sense that you had a difficult relationship with your mother. And then a medium says, you know, I have a lady here, she's giving me difficulty, and she's giving me a sense that she's your mother, you know, and that kind of thing. So information can be similar, but where you're getting it from can be very different.
Right, right. And I want to ask you this too, Hollister, so our listeners can hear your response. When a person passes over, when they cross over, do they leave their ego here and just become one with the universe and just become that light and pure love? Or do they take that personality with them and attract like personalities on the other side?
Both, because it's a choice. You can leave as much as you want here behind. But I would not be able to do my work and connect with spirit and have people be recognizable if they completely left all of their personality here on this side when they left. So there are those, once again, we were talking about a process.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is a process. And I do believe the longer we're over there, the more we just sort of drop our personalities and things like that and become more one with all. And that's ultimately the goal. When people say to me, Holly, you know, what's my destiny? I say, you can't miss it. Your destiny's too big. Our destiny is nothing short of perfect love. Now, that's not to say that when someone's been over there for a while, say you lost a grandmother 50 years ago. I've actually spoken with spirits in family lines who passed in the 1600s, and they still come through with recognizable personalities. What I think happens is as they draw close to the earth plane and move into the aura of the medium, they begin to take on the personality traits and things that they had when they were here on the earth, just like their illnesses. You see, people over on the other side are not suffering with cancer. They're not suffering, you know, with a lost leg or anything like that. They come back to wholeness when they get over there. But when they come to me, all of a sudden, if someone's gone with a heart attack, I'll feel, you know, a pressure in my chest. The other day, I had a group of people, and I had such pain in my right side, I couldn't stand it. Well, it was someone who had gone with pancreatic cancer.
Oh, wow.
And so things like that will affect me, but they don't have it over there. But when they move into the earth vibration, it's like walking into an old house that you used to live in, and you get the flood of memories.
Right.
So they will hook back into memories so that we know who we're speaking with. Does that make sense?
It does, and I have a lovely question for you on top of what you just said. Now, when somebody reincarnates, does their personality come into the new physical body, or does that get left behind? And if so, are you able to contact that personality even though they've already reincarnated? Like, say a loved one comes to you and says, in the 1500s, I have an ancestor, here's the situation there, here's her name, here's what happened, can you contact her? But she's already reincarnated a couple more times or three times since then. Are you able to tap into her in the new physical being? Or how does that work? I mean, does this make
sense? Yeah. I wish I had a simple answer.
Right.
And I'm sure there's a simple answer out there. I'm not sure exactly what that is. All I can say is I know that I'm speaking with a certain person and a certain personality.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, spiritualists, because Talking to people who have passed over is actually a religion. And spiritualists for quite a long time did not believe in reincarnation. And the reason is because when you're talking with a spirit on the other side, they don't often talk about it. Rarely do I have someone come in and say, hi, you know, I'm her mother, my name is Barbara, and in my last incarnation, you know, my name was Nefertiti. I've actually never had a spirit say that.
Right,
they
right.
will always identify themselves as they would be known to the person sitting with me.
Right.
Because it's important to make that connection for whatever reason.
Right.
For their personal growth and for the person in front of me. So they may, from the 1600s, may have already incarnated, but for the sake of the purposes of the connection, they will be that person at that time. So just like that message I got, I have met my many selves. That's what I mean. I've scratched my head over that because it can mean so many things. Have you met every incarnation of yourself? Have you then become one in that way? Have you met your many personalities and all of that? It's really, it's so interesting because so much of this really is illusion. And it is dropped, and it is changed, and it is transformed. But for the purposes of making a connection and healing, people will come back with a recognizable personality and then let me know they've changed. And I'll give you an example. I had a young man in front of me came to a group session, and his father came through and gave identifying information, his name, the kind of work he used to do. And then he said, I never understood your choices, and I could not accept your choices. And I thought, well, that's what the heck is he talking about? And the young man started nodding. You know, he knew exactly what his father was saying. His father then said, I have changed my mind. I love you anyway.
Whoa.
Well, I found out later the young man is gay.
I saw that coming.
His father was a born-again Christian and could never accept that and actually divorced himself from his son in a way, you know, had nothing to do with him.
Right.
But he's changed his mind. So is it? But had he come in with, oh, I just love your choices in life, you know, the son would have gone, well, that's not my father.
Right. Right.
So I love it when spirit comes and then lets us know that they've changed. It shows us that change is possible. Not only is it possible, it's really the only constant.
Right, exactly. And everything is energy.
Everything is energy. I call energy the language of spirit. Because as mediums, we have to be very sensitive to spirit. And that's how they communicate. So people will experience lights flashing in their houses, and I always say, you know, check to be sure there isn't a short, you know, or something like that. And then once you've figured out that it really is spirit, you know, welcome your loved ones. Don't just open your door to any spirits who are out there, because dying doesn't make you nice.
Dying doesn't make you nice.
Yeah, that was another quote from spirit. These are quotes that are going in my book. Yeah. So I love that. A young man said that. I just thought that was brilliant.
That is. Since you mentioned lights flashing, the lights in my office, right behind my chair, flicker on and off about 4 or 5 times a day, and there's no short. It just started randomly doing it. It doesn't do it all the time. And every time it does it, it happens. I just kind of say, hi.
Right.
And just be with it, and I kind of smile that you know, a spirit would want to hang around with me like that and to make the presence known, and then I pay extra attention to what I'm feeling when that happens. And what I'm feeling, sometimes if I'm trying to work out an issue about something, I'll get an impulse that I hadn't thought of before, which I believe comes from spirit.
Absolutely. It's very, very smart to be aware of those things and pause, because they're trying to get your attention. And one of the things I've discovered recently is that much of my job is validating other people's experiences with spirit. So people are coming to me, and their loved ones are saying, you know those footsteps you're hearing in the hallway? That's me. And I'll give you an example. At a small spirit circle that I had over the weekend, I came to a lady and was talking with her husband, and it was a lovely visit. And she said to me, would you ask my husband if he's the one who's walking down the hallway? We can hear his footsteps. And I asked him, and all of a sudden I said, no, he says it's the man who smokes the cigar, is very tall, and wore glasses. And she said, oh, my God, that's his father.
Ah.
So she was thinking it was her husband, but her father was showing up. And then I said to her husband, why would your father be there? And he said, because of insurance. She's working on insurance problems, and he was an insurance salesman. And sure enough, she goes, yes, I'm looking at all my different insurance. And,
wow,
and
that's amazing.
Yes. So that's what spirit does. They show up when they're needed, and they like to get credit, you know,
yes,
as to who's doing what.
Uh-huh.
So thank
well,
you for
wanna,
acknowledging them.
Yes. And speaking of acknowledging spirit, I know in reading some of your bio that the way you connected with spirit as a child is you would have to close your bedroom door at night because the spirits would be lined up on your staircase outside your bedroom door, and that they would gather around your bed, and it was a bit disconcerting for you until you realized what it was, and then you were able to turn off their constantly talking to you and to just be selective about when you listened and when you didn't. Is that accurate?
One of the reasons I teach mediumship and I teach people how to do this is to teach people also how to live with this, because nobody taught me when I was a child. And it was frankly terrifying. I would see things played out in my room, disasters, murder, mayhem, you know, fires, all of this. The spirits would show up. I had to sleep with lights on. I had escape routes planned. I mean, it was, fortunately, my parents were very, very kind, wonderful, loving people. But even they didn't know what to do. So, yes, it was extremely uncomfortable for me growing up. And now I've learned to absolutely control it, turn it on, turn it off. And I love sharing that with other people. So I teach classes in mediumship. I had a girl come to a workshop of mine. She was so sensitive that she could not even touch doorknobs if other people had touched them. Like, she would just feel all their emotion. She was such an empath.
Mm-hmm.
She is now a professional medium today.
Wonderful.
Now, I'm not taking credit for her doing that, but she has stood up in front of groups of people and said, I couldn't handle the energy until I learned the tools from Hollister Rand. And once she learned the tools, then she could move forward and really serve spirit without being overwhelmed by it all the time.
No, I completely understand that. For my entire life, I thought I was overly sensitive and didn't know why I was suffering so much and emotionally. And then I found out from actually Dr. Judith Orloff helped me understand that I was an intuitive empath, and I wasn't I wasn't feeling my own feelings. I was feeling everybody else's feelings.
Exactly.
On top of my feelings. And then when I got that, I was like, well, geez, this is a good thing. I know what to do with this. And then I, you know, became a healer myself doing quantum hypnotherapy sessions where, you know, it restores a person to their factory settings in 1 2-hour session with hypnosis. I started using it in that way. But until I realized I was an intuitive empath, it was just hell on earth.
Well, I call people like you designated healers. And what I mean is people who often come from the most difficult backgrounds, the most dysfunctional, the most hellish and chaotic, will often set about being healers in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it often is what compels them in that direction.
Agreed.
So, and I discovered that when I had many people showing up in my classes who had come from tremendously challenging backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, I just feel like the world is going to launch all of these wonderful healers at the same time. So we're about to have a transformation.
Well, 2012, that's what 2012 is.
It's very, very exciting. You know, people talk about terror cells. Well, these are healing cells. You know, I feel like we have people on this earth plane that are being activated to bring about tremendous healing to this planet, to the world, to the universe. And I'm very excited to be here during this time.
Sure, and I believe one person can ignite consciousness globally.
Oh, absolutely. We are living in extreme... First of all, with working with spirit, I've learned time and time again how interconnected we all are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one person having a thought here just grows with energy around the world. Literally, things can change overnight. It's a very exciting time to live.
It really is. And I would like to give your website address again at hollisterrand.com, hollisterrand.com. Do you mind if I give your email address for inquiries?
That's fine.
Okay, it's hollisterrand@sbcglobal.net. That's Hollister Rand, HollisterRand at sbcglobal.net.
Addition to Sunday's event that you're coming to, I'm also doing a small spirit circle for people to connect with their pets.
Yes, I was going to mention that, and I was just about to ask you the question about can people communicate with their pets from the other side? And I want to give out our toll-free number again in case someone would like to call in. It's 888-815-9756. I'm just going to give that one. It's 888-815-9756 if you'd like to call in. And meanwhile, to approach the question about pets and contacting their former owners, you know, after they've passed on, I'd like to hear what you have to say about that, because I know I'm a pet lover, and, you know, to have communication with your pet from the other side could be very soothing for someone who's really grieving.
Yes, it's very interesting. When I was young, you know how I had the issues with spirits showing up when I didn't necessarily want them. I found solace in animals and just loved animals and desired to be an animal communicator. That's what I really had wanted to be. So, you know, here I am. I'm talking with people who've passed over, but I really wanted to talk with animals that were here. And then one day a friend of mine said, well, why don't you try to talk with my dog? And I said, okay, what should I ask? Well, ask her what she had for dinner last night. And I thought, well, that's an odd question. But I was expecting, you know, Alpo or some brand name or something to come through. And the dog said, I had little trees.
Oh,
I thought, what
lovely.
On earth is that? So I just said to the lady, well, she said that she had little trees for dinner. And we busted up laughing because she had had broccoli the night before.
Right. I know dogs love broccoli.
Yeah. So I thought, wow, this can really work. But it never occurred to me that I would actually be able to talk with animals in spirit until one night at a demonstration, there was a young woman in the audience, and I said, I don't quite know how to tell this, but there's a bald dog standing next to you. And I said, and there's a bald man standing behind the bald dog. And she started laughing. She said, well, my dog had a skin disease and all its hair fell out. And my grandfather was bald too. And they loved each other. He always used to take the bald dog for walks. And I said, well, he still is. So that was the first time I'd actually connected with a dog in spirit. And then I started hearing their thoughts and communicating them with them in a very, very special way. Now, there are some, just like some people are very communicative from the other side, some animals are too, and very people-like. And then there are others that are just really, they embrace their dogginess.
Right.
I had one Labrador retriever. I said to a lady, you know what? There's a dog at your feet. She's giving me the name Molly. And she said, oh, yes, Molly. I said, and Molly's telling me, I'm a dog. I'm just a dog. I'm just a happy dog. And she said, well, that's what we always said about Molly. She's just a dog. She's just a happy dog. So what I discovered, too, is that pets, our animals, really take into themselves what we say to them and what we say about them.
Mm.
So, I had a cat I loved very, very much who passed, and he actually helped me with this work. He passed the week I was teaching a very large workshop of about 40 people. And one of the students, and I didn't tell any of the students, and one of the students came to me and said, you know, I had a very, very strange dream last night, and there was a cat in it, but he was a man, and he was dressed in leopard clothing, and I asked him who he was, and he says, I am her man. And I know he was talking about you. Well, what the student didn't know was that my cat, Chi, I used to call him my little man.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's how he came back to her. And he was a leopard cat, so he was a Bengal, and he had leopard spots.
Wow.
And so he came back as a man with a leopard jacket, like a leopard. Yeah. So animals are just fabulous. The other thing I want to point out is that our animals will stay here on this earth plane as long as we need them to. So they will suffer and suffer and suffer as long as we still need them to be with us.
Wow. I know, and some people will do that too, where there'll be a parent who refuses to pass over until their loved one arrives from a plane.
Yes.
Somewhere.
Yes.
And as soon as they get to say their goodbyes, then they pass away.
Exactly.
I've heard countless stories about that.
Yes, it's very, very strong. We have a lot more choice around our passing than we can even imagine.
Well, yes, we do. Look at all the people with near-death experiences and what happens when they have them.
Yes. I was in a very severe car accident when I was in my late teens, and after that, things really, really ramped up for me as far as connecting with spirit. So I know that I was changed by that experience.
I'm not surprised. If I could just share my little thing about that, when I was 19, I was pronounced dead for 12 minutes at the scene of the car crash that I was in. And I saw everything, and my body became, my spirit, when it left my body, became one with the universe. And when I decided to come back in, it was the most painful act of my life. And I've given, and this was more painful than 10 births at one time. Trying to get the universe back in this physical body was very, very difficult and very, very painful.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like I too experienced that. And when I came back into my body, I didn't come back in by myself.
Right.
Did you feel like you had a walk-in when you came back into your body, or when you?
No, I did not. I really what I felt was very, very large and very big, and I knew I had a purpose. But at that point, I just wasn't sure what it was.
Well, as a teenager, it's hard to know. You don't have the life experience really to put the words together or the thoughts together. But it's later in life, you're looking at your life now and you totally see it, right?
Exactly, exactly. But at that point, I didn't know. I just knew I was going to be of service.
Yes.
And in fact, I was swimming off the coast of San Diego and got caught in a rip current. This was a few years ago. And I thought to myself, well, I didn't see this coming. So much for being a psychic. I didn't see this coming. And I didn't think that this was how I was going to die. You know, and then I said, well, wait a minute. I can't die. I have clients tomorrow. And I mean, it's bad enough, you know, that I was dying. But then can you imagine someone who's lost a child and then they go to see their medium and the medium's dead? I mean, it's just, you really would think that the universe is conspiring against you. So I determined that I would stay here on this earth plane, and the rip current sort of spit me out and I got to shore. And then soon after, I just did like a little street psychic guy. You know, I sort of walked by, plunked my $10 down, and I just wanted to sort of see what happened. Well, his eyes got very, very big, and he looked at me and he said, well, I don't get this, but there's death all around you, but you're not dead. I said, that's okay. I get that. Go on. And he said, well, you know what? You're not living in karma anymore. You're living in dharma. You're living in service. And I said, thank you. That's all I needed to know. And I walked away thinking, I chose to stay here. And it's not just me, Kate. It's not just you. There are so many people who have determined that they're going to stay here at this time and be of service. It's a very exciting time to live in.
It certainly is. And I'm fascinated with your journey from when you were a child to where you are now and all of the life experiences that brought you in touch and in tune with the wisdom that you've gleaned from all of your experiences, and to be very, very comfortable with spirit and not frightened by it at all is a great space to live in. I mean, there must be quite a bit of peace in your life to be able to deliver these messages and to be in that vibrational frequency with people from the other side, with spirit, because, you know, when you're tapped into source, source is all you are. I mean, you're that every time you bring forth a spirit for somebody in your mediumship. And I have a way of looking at that. It's like when you're connected to source, you're a source of rest.
Yes, well, this is very true. It can almost be addicting in a way, because our natural state is not to be in this body. And so one of the things I really work with my students on is having balance in life. And doing your work, you know, being a medium is what you do. It really isn't who you are in total. Because you could, you just don't want to come back from that space, frankly. It really is wonderful to be connected with spirit. But we also have to be functional here. So I really work with people in achieving balance in their lives, because that's how we can be effective for spirit, is to be fully present here on the earth plane while also being connected. So to me, that's the key to functioning in service, is really, really being present. If we're sort of floating around in the ozone, then nothing's really going to happen here. I look at it this way. Mediums and spirit workers are almost like place cards at a banquet for spirit. Mm-hmm. We have to hold the space for them. And so to do that, we have to be very, very physical and be very present here. And then we give spirit the place to be. So that's kind of how I see my function here, is giving spirit a place on this earth plane to have a voice, to have an effect, and to bring healing to people who remain here. That's how I see it.
Well, that's the way it is then. And I have a question for you that I'd like for our listeners to hear your answer to, and I just think that this question would speak for a lot of people who don't say it, and that is, should we let the dead rest in peace?
Well, first of all, we don't have that much to say about it. The dead aren't going to rest in peace, frankly. They're extremely active.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I've learned with working with them over time. living in eternity is not a place of rest. It's a place of change, transformation, connection, oneness, experiencing love. It really is all about growth and change. And that's an active process. It's not passive. Now,
yes,
where we get the idea of resting in peace, it's a different kind of activeness. It's not running around trying to earn money to pay the bills. It's not worried about whether your son or daughter is going to get into the right college. The emphasis of life is very different because it is just life. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
And a reassessment of, you know, sort of all the lessons that are learned. But no, there's plenty of peace over there, but no one's resting in it.
Right, they're expanding.
Exactly.
Yeah. What about grounding and protection? How are you able to do that for yourself and the loved ones of passed on spirits? How are you able to create a safe space like that?
I have a CD called Many Doors, An Introduction to Mediumship, and it's sold on Amazon, and on that are several meditations that I use with my students, specifically for grounding and protection. One of the things I really like to do is a tree meditation where you feel your roots going deep, deep down into the earth. And then building up the protection around you, almost like a ball or sort of a golden translucent ball, where you're able to see what's going on around you. My sister always jokes and says, you know, because I spent a lot of time in New York. I'm originally from New York. And she says, how is it that you walk down the sidewalks of New York City and people get out of your way? How does that happen for you? I said, it's because I have so much energy that I carry around me, protection-wise, that people feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a force, and they can feel it around me. But I have to have that to function in this world. So, yes, we can ground ourselves and protect ourselves to function here in the everyday world, as well as create a space for spirit to move into that protective ball, and only those who have the highest good as their intent.
Right, right. When I invoke spirit, I make sure that I say, through divine love.
Exactly, exactly.
And that way I'm not encouraging any darkness.
Before every session, I pray. And one of the things that I ask for is that we be protected as we do this work in love.
Excellent.
Very simple. And it sets the vibration right there.
Well, I happen to know from meeting you 2 years ago and getting this wonderful completion about my father, you know, I've just been completely freed just by having that experience. And it wasn't just the words that you said, Hollister. It was the vibration that I was feeling. It was as if my father had put his arms around me.
And they will do that.
Yes.
They will use mediumship to do that.
Yeah. And it was an energy. It was palpable. And I believe many people in the room were crying because they saw the impact that it had on me and that what you were saying was true. And I feel my dad directed me to be there that night. I feel my dad directed you to connect us. And I believe that that's part of your sensitivity is to, like you said, your deal is with spirit.
It is, because ultimately that's all I care about. And that's where I'm going, and that's who I have to answer to. That's how I look at it.
Right. And also, I was listening to your Many Doors CD, and someone had asked you a question about, is there a hell? What is hell? And you gave a really interesting answer, and I'll give you a hint of the part I'm talking about. You also mentioned Hitler.
Yeah, well, people will ask me if there's a place called hell. Now, when I have been to the other side, I have certainly seen and experienced some very unsavory places. And it has been people who are of like mind. So I look at it this way. If you put Hitler, Idi Amin, Pol Pot, and people like that all in one place, what else would you call it but hell?
Right. Well, you know, it seems to me that if someone like Hitler is attracting more people who are like him, that he could just start his own club there. And, you know, that wouldn't be hell for him, but it would be definitely one of those neighborhoods in MapQuest you wouldn't want to visit.
Exactly. But it is hell for people like that because when you're a person who is going after annihilation and there to destroy, you don't want to be with anybody else. You want to be on top. And so if you put everybody who wants to be on top in the same place, it's awful for them all.
Oh, I'll bet.
Yeah. So, and I had to laugh. I had a father come through not too long ago and say to his daughter, well, we're playing cards over here. And she goes, oh, yes, they always played cards, you know, every Saturday night. And he said, but you know what? I always win. And she said, oh, yes, well, he always wanted to win. And then he went on to say, and everybody wins. And we just started laughing about that, you know, you're in a group and everybody wins. How does that work? But how wonderful that is.
It is. And,
you know, the competition is gone because there's no scarcity. It's all abundance.
Right. That's what I was getting at, Hollister, to say that, you know, when someone passes over, does their ego self get left behind? Does that change? Do they just become pure spirit and they're not carrying that ego of I must win at all costs?
I would say yes for some people, but no for others. So you take a Hitler again.
Right.
Someone who will hang on to that construct. People have a choice to leave belief systems behind. They have a choice here, and they have a choice on the other side. And there are those people for whom belief systems are very strong. They don't give them up right away.
I call that BS.
Yeah.
Belief system. BS.
Yeah. But it's true, and it can be very strong and very powerful and hard for people to leave behind because they so identify with it.
Right, and we got about 2 minutes left, Hollister, and I'd like to hear quickly what was the most hair-raising experience you've encountered so far in your work?
I've had many, many hair-raising experiences, most of which I do not want to revisit. But early on, I did work with healing spaces, you know, places where there were ghosts and more negative energies around.
Right.
And I once had a spirit write, like scratch on my legs, words.
Wow.
And that for me, that's when I said, you know what? This is not what I want to do anymore.
Yeah.
Not what I want to do.
Right.
So I want to work in the healing realms. So that's where I am today.
Great. We have a caller. Who's there? Who's calling? Hello? Hello? Hollister?
Yes.
Hi, we've run out of time in our Spiritual Hollywood Hour, so thank you so much for being our guest tonight. We really appreciate you and all that you shared. And again, everybody who's local in Los Angeles, Hollister will be at the Bodhi Tree this coming Sunday, the 18th. Please go to hollisterrand.com, find out more about that, and we hope to see you there. Thank you for listening, everyone, and thanks again, Hollister. And remember, the last six letters of attraction are action, so get busy creating the life you came to live. Thanks, everyone, and good night.